San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. You can hear us on the AM 760 app. And now, time to introduce the main man of the hour. He is a CPA extraordinaire. He's a marathon runner. He's a philanthropist. And he's a family office expert to several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
Joe, I'm doing marvelous. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing a little better than the opera.
Yeah, well, I heard.
You heard the latest. I guess the board president resigned. And I think they are trying to save it. There's a group in there trying to save it. So let's hope they do.
And got to make some changes to save it.
So on the heels of the Balboa Park Celebration Committee that went kaput, or whatever you want to say, and then the opera, and then the other day it was announced that the Ken Cinema would be closing, and I guess there's a dispute with the Landmark Theater chain and the trust that or the property management company. There's, I guess, three parties kind of involved here. But I did talk to the owner of the theater whose grandfather started the theater several years ago, and he wants to keep it a theater, and I trust it. He's a CPA, so I take it in him as his word, Richard.
Okay.
And I put him in touch with another theater operator well-known in town here, so hopefully that will save the day. But anyway, anything you have to say before we get into the
second show? Saturday in a row, I came in first place in my age division in a 5K.
Really?
So down at Mission Bay in the One Hope event, which raises funds for military families that have children with autism. First place, just like last week at the Fallbrook Half Marathon, where in the 5K division, I picked up the gold medal as well.
Wow.
So two Saturdays in a row, Joe. I'm getting really fast as I get older.
3.1 miles. So how fast can you say how fast you went?
It was like 21 minutes and something.
Oh, my gosh. That's pretty good.
It's like a seven-minute pace.
For 50-something, that's pretty good.
55. You can put it out there. I don't care.
Anyway, all right, why not? Anything else before we get into the show?
Let's get into the show. What the heck?
We have two great studio guests tonight, and the first one is a woman running for city council.
See, running. I was talking about running,
there
so you can segue into running.
There you go. She's running for District 2 and former prosecutor, but we'll get into her background and everything else. I just want to introduce Sarah Boot. Sarah, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here tonight.
It's our pleasure. So, what's the drill, Richard? We usually like to ask about where they grew up and where they went to school.
Yeah, we ask who you are and why on earth are you here. I'm just kidding.
That's the old William Stockdale line.
Exactly.
I think it was William. You're too young, Sarah. He ran for vice president umpteen years ago with
it was Mondale, right? Was it Mondale?
No, I think Ross Perot.
No, it was Ross Perot. That's right. Because Dukakis was anyway.
We're taking Sarah's time here.
Exactly.
But anyway, sir, so grew up where, went to school where, and how'd you find yourself into San Diego?
Well, I moved around a lot in the Midwest growing up. My dad was an engineer and worked for the Whirlpool Corporation. So anytime he got a promotion or got a change in appliances, like refrigerators, washers, dryers, we'd move to a different plant. Mm-hmm. So spent a lot of time in the Midwest growing up and ended up going to college at the University of Michigan and ultimately went to law school at the University of Michigan.
Mm.
And I made my way out here to San Diego because of the tech industry and, of course, the beauty, the beaches and all that. Got my first job in the legal field working for a big law firm out here that primarily represents tech companies and internet companies like Google and Facebook and Yelp, that sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm. And so you went to law school there, and then didn't you meet your husband in Washington, though, or where'd you meet?
Well, so in between undergrad and law school, I moved out to New Hampshire and worked on the presidential primary campaign for Joe Lieberman.
Oh, really? Wow.
I did. Obviously, that was not successful. Hopefully, my campaign goes better. But my husband was working for Dick Gephardt for president at the time, another unsuccessful campaign, of course. Mm-hmm. And we met at a holiday party for staffers of the different candidates. And if you may recall at this time, it's Howard Dean, John Kerry, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we met there. And then after the campaigns were over, I was already set to go to law school at the University of Michigan. And, you know, we had hit it off, but didn't think anything could come of it because we weren't living in the same place. Yeah. So I went down to Washington, D.C. for a little while until I was going to start law school to find a job for the temporary the rest of that year. Mm-hmm. And was staying with a friend at American Law School. And I was in the law library putting my resume together and trying to figure out what I was going to do for the next 6-7 months. And my husband Shane walks by. And we're like, whoa, how did that happen? And so, you know, of course, we picked things back up, and it turned out he was going to law school as well, to a school also in Michigan, Thomas Cooley, which was in Lansing, about an hour away from Ann Arbor, where I went to the University of Michigan Law School. So we, you know, and the rest is history, of course.
That's funny.
Serendipity.
Yes.
That's funny.
So we ended up getting married out here, actually, in Balboa Park.
Okay. So what makes you want to run for office? I'm just curious.
Well, we live over in the Midway community. And in our neighborhood, there's a lot of problems. I take the trolley to work. Mm-hmm. And when I come home at night, in the wintertime, obviously not in the summer as much, but it's dark. The streets aren't well lit. Mm-hmm. Driving around in those neighborhoods, there's lots of potholes. The homeless population appears to be on the rise. Property crime rates are on the rise. And obviously, you mentioned earlier, I was a prosecutor. I was a federal prosecutor at the U.S. Attorney's Office here in San Diego. And I feel like I can do more to benefit this city from the platform of city council than I could as a line AUSA. Mm-hmm. And that's really what motivated me to work on these neighborhood issues that have been neglected for too long.
Can you explain the Midway District or your district? Because I know there's been some changes in the district and some people are a little bit confused.
Well, the entire district too you're talking about, Richard? Second district.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I think a lot of people are confused about it. So District 2 is the Beaches community. We used to have downtown, but that went over to Todd Gloria in District 3. And so now we are Point Loma in Midway. So it's in that part of the district, it's everything to the west of the 5. Mm-hmm. So Point Loma in Midway. And then we get up further north and you've got Ocean Beach, Mission Beach, Pacific Beach, Bayho, Bay Park, and then about the western third of Claremont and Linda Vista.
Mm-hmm. I see if they go over to your website, which is Sarah Boot, the number 4, right?
The number 4.
For council.
Yes.
There is a district map link there. And I've got sdvote.com, folks. If you have any questions about districts or voting or anything, that is a great website. There are a lot of resources there. I don't know if you've probably been there, right, Sarah?
Sure.
SD Vote. So that's a good one. Just wanted to mention that. But so you got homeless issues. Now, I did see the other day that homeless facility downtown, they are doing some good work down there and have downtown. I don't know. Can they help out in the Midway District a little bit more, too, in that regard? Or?
Well, I sure hope so, because I think outside of downtown, District 2 has the highest population of homeless in the city.
Yeah, I was going to say homeless, at least my experience in that district, is they like being near the beach.
That's right.
For one thing, there's a lot of public facilities.
But it's
restrooms
it's,
and the like.
That's true. No, and that's very true. They're a lot near the beach, but mm-hmm. they're also in the canyons over in Claremont.
Oh, that's right.
And they're in the Midway District over where I live, mm-hmm. Where that's more industrial.
But I know there was a large, prostitution issue in that area and also Elkhorn Boulevard, but I don't know if it's as bad as it used to be, in that region. So that's something. Have you got any statistics from the law enforcement at all that you're working with? Or,
well, you mentioned prostitution. I mean, when I was at the U.S. Attorney's Office, one of the types of cases that I prosecuted was child sex trafficking, and that's a huge problem here in San Diego. We're one of the top 10 worst cities in the country for it. And a lot of people actually think that it's because of young girls being trafficked into the country from another country like Mexico or Russia or something like that. There are incidents of that happening, but most of what's happening here is that in our local communities, once rival gangs that used to fight with each other over drug turf have now come together and have decided that instead of the high sentences that come with drugs, the fact that it's a limited supply that you can only sell it once, why don't we come together and sell the girls of our middle schools and high schools because you can sell them over and over again. And it's a huge problem here in San Diego. Huh. And there's a lot more we could be doing about it in this city.
Well, let's take our little break right now, Justin. We'll come back and try and get into some solutions with Sarah Boot running for city council. Hang on, I'll be right back after this.
AM 760. Now, it's your money and your life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we are back with Richard Musio, myself, and Sarah Boot running for City Council. I forgot to mention at the top of the show, Richard, that the San Diego Asian Film Festival is having their showcase, over their spring showcase, and the opening film was To Be Takei. It was all about George Takei and his life and everything else and his whole process of, well, his whole history from the internment camps to coming out to the Star Trek and everything else. And he showed up, and it was very entertaining, and he remembered our interview.
Well, that's good. And did he bring his hubby Brad?
Because he brought his hubby Brad.
They are such a funny couple.
He brought his hubby Brad. And Brad's in the movie quite a bit.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah, Brad's a cool guy,
too. The scene where they bring Brad's mother's ashes to Arizona and reminded me of the Big Lebowski. You have to see it. Okay. Anyway, it runs a few more days. Go to sdaff.org if you're interested in seeing some more great Asian films.
Good stuff. Hey, Sarah, before we went to the break, we were talking about the issues surrounding prostitution and basically young female trafficking in San Diego. It's an issue that's important to me. As most listeners know, I wrote a book back in last year that went bestseller in September about the history of the women's liberation movement circa 1973 and young female empowerment and gender equality. So it's an issue that's dear to my heart. You know, what's going on is simply not acceptable. What possible solutions are you looking at? If you were able to put together a game plan as to how to combat this really unfortunate situation, what would those things be?
Well, I think from the city level, the first thing we need to do is beef up our police department. It's been underfunded for far too long. We're losing officers left and right because we're not paying them a salary that's commensurate with surrounding jurisdictions. And the reality is, to prosecute these kind of crimes, the sex trafficking of children, it's very time-consuming. You got to get search warrants. Most of the stuff's happening online, so you got to get online search warrants. You got to get people's text messages, surveillance, sting operations in hotel rooms. It's very time-intensive, and we got to make sure our police department is fully staffed to be able to combat this issue. So that would be the first thing. The second would be, so I'll tell you a brief story about one of the cases I had. There was a 14-year-old girl who had been brought in by her pimp from Texas to California. And when we found her, I mean, the girl's, you know, she's 90 pounds soaking wet, and he'd been having her, forced her to have sex with 6 to 10 men per day. Of course, she didn't get a dime of the money. She's cut off all communication from her family. And typically in these situations, when we find a girl like this, oftentimes she ends up in a foster care home until, you know, pending trial or what have you, or juvenile hall sometimes, which I don't agree with. But in the case of the federal jurisdiction, she was undocumented. So we ended up putting her in a federal facility out of state, because there's not that many of them, where it was more, rather than being like a juvenile hall, it was more like a campus. And so she attended classes. She had counseling. She had medical treatment, could do exercise, but she couldn't leave the premises. And that's really important in this situation, because a lot of times these pimps still have control over the girls. And it just makes me really sad, because we were able to, you know, she was very angry at first, like most of the victims are, because they've been through a lot and they're still under the control. But after a few weeks, she was able to put enough space between her and the situation and heal enough to see that this man was evil, did not love her, was exploiting her, and she was ready to gain her power back by testifying against him, which she ultimately did, and we convicted him. And I just wish we could have something like that for our local girls here, for our American girls. And so I'd like to use my platform on the city council to raise awareness about that and lobby the state legislature for that funding for those kind of facilities. And then finally, as I mentioned earlier, most of this stuff is happening right here in our backyard, in our middle schools, in our high schools. And I think we need to do everything we can to raise awareness of this. Because it does happen mostly to disadvantaged children, but it can happen to anybody. And this is modern day slavery, and we have to keep talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard thing to talk about, but if we're not open about it, it's never going to get fixed.
Well, is the FBI, I mean, don't they have a large facility up here in I guess, North County somewhere or Miramar area, but aren't they surveilling the internet and trying to wipe this out as well? Or
absolutely, yeah. Okay. It's all you know. Law enforcement at all different levels are working on the problem, but we need more resources. And like I said, law enforcement can't be the only solution to it. That's one component, but we have to raise awareness so that we can identify these girls much earlier before they're too far into this life, and it's much harder to get them back.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, are you active in Run Women Run? I'm curious.
I am.
Cool.
It's my good friend Barbara Bree was the founder of Run Women Run.
Prior guest on the show.
Yep.
Along with her comedian husband Neil.
Yes. And I was on the kind of the ground floor of the organization. It's basically a local version of Emily's List. It's nonpartisan, but electing mm-hmm. pro-choice women to office is what they try to do. Mm-hmm. And they're looking to support women as they enter the political process. And I've been happy to be a part of that organization.
Mm-hmm. So in this campaign, have you had any debates yet with your opponent or?
Well, we did have we had a debate a couple weeks ago at the Ocean Beach Town Council, mm-hmm. and there's four candidates in the race. There's me, there's Lori Zaff, who mm-hmm. sits on the council in District 6 right now. Her mm-hmm. house just got drawn into that northeast corner of the district.
Yeah, I heard that her house just got remapped.
Yes, exactly. Okay. That's okay. exactly okay. it. Okay. So she, in one sense, she's an incumbent because she's on the council now, but when you're out in the community, especially in the beach communities, they haven't. Yeah, you haven't really heard of her. That's my experience.
You're all starting from scratch. So.
It's a much more open mm-hmm. seat than people realize. Mm-hmm.
And who are the other two?
So then there's a libertarian named Mark Schwartz mm-hmm. and a man named Jim Morrison. I don't know his party affiliation, but he's put his name on the ballot the last five elections in District 2. So we're mm-hmm. talking about 15, 20 years he's okay. been running for this seat.
Came back from the dead, from the door. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. Yeah. Exactly. But we had a debate at the Ocean Beach Town Council, and it was just me and the two gentlemen. Lori Zaff did not attend. And then in Pacific Beach this past Wednesday, we had a debate where it was just me and Lori.
Mm. And are there any specific points where you are just... you think you could do a better job at or diametrically opposed? Or
many points I could do a better job.
I mean,
well, a couple things. I you know, it's interesting because Zaff portrays herself as a fiscal conservative, yet she's one of two council members to take an $800 a month car allowance. I think that's very wasteful. Hmm. You know, over 3 years, we're talking over 30 grand that goes to pay for her car.
There's so much public transportation in your district, too.
That's well.
800. How much?
But $800 a month.
$800
a month.
I mean, my car payment's $236, exactly. So I don't know what the rest of that's going.
I've never had one that high either. So.
So anyway, so that's. But then the other thing is.
Well, that's not $30,000, is it?
$800 a month. It's like $9,600 a year, and then she's been in over 3 years.
So I get you.
I'm saying over the course of time that adds up.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you look at the fact that we've had this Balboa Park Centennial debacle, where we spent 15.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Isn't it? But I mean, you know, 15 grand a month for the CEO, you guys know this, 8 grand a month mm-hmm. for the consultant, trip to Panama, 2+ years go by, $2.8 million in the hole. We got nothing to show for it. Right. And you haven't heard Zaff come out and demand accountability. And I want to know, where was she over the last few years? And where was the transparency? Where were these financial documents? Who was watching the ship here?
Yeah, supposedly they're auditing the whole thing right now. But
hey, we got 8 months to go to pull that off.
Yeah. Sure.
No big deal. Plenty of time.
So what I'd like to do is use my prosecutorial experience. I'm not afraid to ask hard questions. Mm-hmm. I'm used to digging through lots of documents to find key pieces of evidence mm-hmm. and really hold people accountable.
And then at these meetings in the town councils, what are they asking you to do for them or for the area? Any particular?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the constituents, what's the most important thing?
What comes up in their conversation?
Well, it's interesting. I've been going door to door 7 days a week since December. And the number one thing I hear about from voters is the streets. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you all. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, their frustration is not just the lack of repairs and the delay in the repairs. It's when they do come in to repair something, they tear up the street, maybe they fix the sewage lines. 3 months later, they come back, tear up the street, and fix something else. There's no coordination. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously incredibly inefficient.
And Mission Beach they just had a big pipe break there
exactly.
the other day.
I was down there. So, I took a look at it. It's pretty gnarly.
But the whole sewage system, I mean, it's going to need replacement. It's 70, 80 years old.
Yeah, the infrastructure is an
it's
issue.
Abysmal.
So 2008 Rock and Roll Marathon, I was running through Bay Park at about the 14 or 15 mile mark. I was about to step in a pothole, so I tried to stretch over it and tore my hamstring with 11 miles to go.
That's a tough tear. Those take a long time to repair. Yeah, I tore my hamstring.
Well, how about Mayor?
Like, fix the potholes,
Mayor
please.
Sanders. He came in here with a big sore on his lip, and I didn't ask him about it, but I was afraid to. And he said, "Well, I was walking with my hands in my pocket, and he fell on the sidewalk."
Yeah, exactly.
I go, "I hope you're not going to sue the city."
Oh, that's great. But I think if we upgraded our city's data, we could take advantage of software systems that other cities are using, where you set a date certain for street repairs, and all the repairs happen on that one date. And then that way residents could go online and see what's their street's date, is the project that is the pothole mm-hmm. that they want to report, is that already on there?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that that would help us be more efficient, save more money.
And then, yeah, there's no transparency. I mean, you report something like that, you have no clue what, if anything, when.
Nope.
And I know everyone likes to get their utility poles undergrounded. That's been an ongoing mm-hmm. process, so you probably can help out on that.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. If we had a date for each street when you tear it up, if the utility company knew that date, mm-hmm. maybe that would be cheaper for them to come in at that
time
as well.
I'm sure it would be.
It makes sense. Yeah. It does
makes
make
a lot
sense.
Of sense.
So anyway, so where's your next appearance, Sarah? Public appearances coming up? Anything?
Actually, yes. At the Claremont Town Council, they're hosting a debate, and Zaf is confirmed to attend.
Okay.
And it's for Districts 2 and 6, because Claremont straddles both.
Okay. So when's that going to be?
It's going to be May 1st, 7 p.m. at, I think it's Cadman Elementary.
Wonderful, okay. Wonderful. So anyone who wants to get involved with your campaign, go to SarahBoot4CityCouncil.com, right? SarahBoot4CityCouncil.com. Or go to our website, iymoney.com. I'm sure we can find the link there. Or you can always do the Google. And while you're doing that, we're going to take our break right now. We're going to come right back with our second guest right after this. So hang on.